Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I want to talk to you a little bit this morning in preparation for next Lord's Day. I think it is quite natural for all of us to be interested and to be concerned about our own families, about our loved ones. Those are so near and dear to us. We're very interested about those who are our close neighbors, those that we see contact every day. We may not be as interested in them as we ought to be. We certainly ought to be concerned about their spiritual as well as their physical welfare. But the Christian does not limit his interest and his concern to those that he sees often, to those that he knows, to those who are right around him, to those just simply of his family. I want to talk to you for a moment, brethren, about having concern for those that we do not know. I'm not at all suggesting that you don't have that concern. I'm really bringing more of a reminder of truth today than bringing something that you have not known and things that this congregation has not practiced. But we need to be concerned about those that we do not know, seldom see, may never indeed in this life see. Are we really concerned about their spiritual welfare as well? And we would insist that to be Christ-like, to walk in the footsteps of Christ as He is our example, and to be like the early Christians that were certainly approved of God, we have to be concerned about the spiritual well-being of all of mankind, whoever they are, wherever they are. Is not this as Christ was? When He gave the Great Commission, as is recorded in Mark 16, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Matthew 28 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Please note, all the world, every creature, all nations. Now, those people with whom Jesus said, He did not have personal acquaintance, obviously, with all of them, at least while He was here in the physical body. But we know that He was interested in everybody, everywhere, in all ages. And does He not then charge His own people, which includes us, to be similarly concerned? And brethren, we need to think, what must the Lord think of us if we fail to have that concern and fail to show that we have that concern? Consider again something that is said about Jesus Christ in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, that He, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. In Romans 2 and verse 32, it tells us that God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. The point that we're making here and want to emphasize throughout this lesson, that the concern of Jesus Christ extended far beyond those of His immediate personal acquaintances, beyond His own realm of geographical operations, beyond those who were just physically near to Him. I think it is quite interesting as we read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 concerning Christ, that He is the mediator of the New Testament. Now notice, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. What does that mean? Why, the interest of Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross was even concerned about those who had lived prior to Him under the old or former covenant that God had with Israel. The Israelites, of course, had their blood animal sacrifices, but those sacrifices at best would, as we speak of it, only roll their sins forward year by year, and the sins of those under the old covenant were not actually forgiven until the one power of forgiveness was shed, and that was the blood of Christ. And so when Christ died, He was concerned about those who lived before Him, And he's concerned certainly about those who live after him, and thankfully that too includes us. I want us to notice something that the Apostle Paul wrote. You might turn quickly with me to the first chapter of Romans. I want to read an extensive passage of Scripture there. Some things that he wrote in Romans chapter 1 to people, some of them he had had past associations, some of them he knew, a very few of them, but most of those to whom he wrote, he had never met, he had never seen. He didn't know their names. He didn't know anything about them except that they were a soul. In Romans 1, beginning with verse 8, Paul said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit and the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Making request, if that by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Among other things, brethren, that Paul is saying here loud and clear, I am concerned about those whom I don't even personally know. And is that not the way that we are to be? He never ceased to remember them in prayer. He longed to have a personal association, relationship, and fellowship with them. He wanted to grant them some spiritual gift, and he as an apostle had the power to grant spiritual and miraculous gifts unto people. He wanted to comfort them. He wanted to be comforted by them. And he wanted to have fruit among them, like he had in so many other places among the Gentiles where he had preached the gospel. And he said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you too." He had never seen them, with the few exceptions that I noted, and he points those out toward the end of the book. He had only heard of them. Many of the things that he had heard about them were good, but he was concerned not only with his brethren that he did not know, who needed his help. He was concerned about those who were potentially his brethren, whom he did not know, and he knew they needed the gospel also. I turn to another passage here in Colossians chapter 2, and just the first two verses will suffice in this. Paul again writing to these brethren, he said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you." Now, you don't have conflict over a person, concerning a person, concerned about a person, unless you're interested in that person. Not only for those here at Colossae, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I'm concerned about people that I do not know. And he went on to express his concern about them in certain matters, which they wanted. He wanted them to be comforted, he wanted them to be united, he wanted them to be rich in understanding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and that's a very notable chapter as we study the life of this outstanding apostle. He had caused so much persecution in his day upon Christians, and then in turn, having become a Christian, he suffered some great persecutions and hardships. He bore many burdens for the cause of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 11, he gives a whole catalog, a whole listing there of things that he had endured that were hard upon him in serving the Lord and preaching the gospel throughout the world. And then in verse 28, he said, "Besides all this, there's the care of the churches." Now, Paul didn't visit every church. Paul didn't know everybody in every church. But there wasn't a member of the church in any church anywhere for whom Paul did not have a concern. And that's the point we're driving home to us to understand today. And certainly that was very evident on the day of Pentecost as Peter preached the gospel. You know, when Peter preached the gospel there, Peter standing up with the 11, all of the apostles preached that day, not just Peter. Peter's sermon is the one recorded, but all of them preached. And they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what Peter did, as the others, they proved to those people they were in sin, they needed a Savior, Christ was the Savior, and here is how to be saved. And he convinced them of that truth, so much so that they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then he went on to say that this promise, this was the promise of salvation. It's to you, that's to those who was talking to your children, that would be the next generation, to those that are far off, a term used repeatedly in Scripture to refer to the Gentile world, and notice, brethren, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And we're called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Peter, you don't know all of those people. They're not all in your family. They're not your neighbors. But you have a concern about them. Peter had the concern, but Peter was pointing out that the Lord had that concern, even when he gave that promise to Abraham that's recorded back in the book of Genesis. You will notice that in thy seed shall all the families, and another place says, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Who can doubt that deity is concerned about everybody? Now, deity knows everybody. We know God knows everybody. We don't. No, actually, of all the masses of people in this world, you only know a few. Now, some folks know everybody, just about, around the area. I'm not going to call any names, but there are some good sisters here, and I love to be around them. In fact, let me just pass this along. If you're not the visitation group, you're missing a lot of blessings. One of them is to get some of these people who've lived in Warren County, might now all their lives, get them together, and they get to talking about things around this county and stores and places and filling stations and people and who they met and this, that, and the other. And by the time they get through talking, you think, they must know everybody in their county. Don't you, bud? I shouldn't have said that. But he's one of them. And then some of the ladies, too. You'd hardly bring up a name that if Bud doesn't know it, Barbara does. And they know so many. But most of us, even them, it's really just a handful of people. Are they the only ones we're interested in? Are we only concerned about our family, our immediate friends, our congregation, our brotherhood, just our county? Or people that we'll never know. We'll never see this side of the grave. We'll never know their names. Their brethren in distant lands, they need our encouragement. They need our help. They need our support. They need to be provided for. They need those things necessary to uphold the gospel truth. We don't even know who they are. I was just reading the report last night from Brother Weiss that we helped to support. And the names there, in fact, the names in his report, I can't even pronounce them. I'll never meet those people unless they come see me, which is not likely. But all of us have a concern about those people, do we not? That's the way it must be with us, brethren, if we be imitators of the righteous. And when we are truly sufficiently concerned for the lost in the distant lands, when we're concerned for brethren who are our brethren in Christ, that we shall never see this side of death, when we're concerned for even generations that are yet unborn, we're going to manifest that. We're going to demonstrate that. There are those for whom this congregation numbers of times and others on a regular basis show concern. I think it's one of the better things that exist in this building is that board out there of Brother Charlie that shows where we are trying to help people. With the gospel of Christ that we will never know. And if we be Christ-like, our hearts are going to be burdened with lost humanity. If we be Christ-like, we're going to be concerned about suffering people everywhere. And we are going to be willing to work, willing to sacrifice, willing to give, willing to be active, willing to be involved in blessing them and bringing God's blessings to them. And just as the Lord was universally concerned, my plea to us is to remember that we too must have that same kind of universal concern. Now, I've said all of that to show the biblical basis of what I'm about to say now. We heard Brother Bishop, Mary Ann told me they wouldn't be here today. They've gone to L.A. And I said, my, that's a long way. But then she said that means Lower Alabama. And so they've gone to be with relatives down there. But last Sunday, you remember Brother Bishop got up and he told us of the intent of the elders and this congregation concerning next Sunday. There is an urgent appeal, brethren, on the behalf of God's people and lost souls in the country of Ukraine. There's a need for Bibles and Bible study aids. Now, those of you who study the Bible, you know how much value it is to have an atlas and to have a Bible dictionary and to have a Bible handbook and to have concordances and encyclopedias. It helps us, facilitates our studies so much. A lot of those people don't even have Bibles in their own language because, after all, you've got to realize that for a number of generations, the government will stamp out all forms of religion. They've taught evolution. They've taught atheism. They've insisted upon it. They've tried to deprive people of any spiritual nourishment, whatever. Now things have changed, thankfully. To what degree? We're taking advantage of some of it. Some of our brethren are. They've gone over there. They're living there. They're preaching there. They've started schools there to teach the Bible. And they're working hard to spread the cause of Christ, but they are in need of tools with which to work. They need Bibles. They need concordances. They need atlases. They need handbooks. There's a need list that I have before me here that's been prepared for us by our beloved Brother Thomas Eves, who makes regular trips over there. I'm somewhat familiar with this also because my son's father-in-law, Brother Clifford Reel, he and his wife have gone over there for extended periods to teach in this very same area, and they tell about the tremendous heartbreaking needs that they have and how they could do so much more if they had these things and how limited they are because they do not have these things. And there is a need list here that would cost, in order to provide it, $10,368. And brethren, for a congregation like us, you put all that's been earned this week and this month, you put all of the material and spiritual blessings that we've got, $10,000 is not really all that much. Now, it is for me by myself, and it would be for you by yourself, but for all of us together, that's really not going to be that heavy a burden. And Brother Bishop, in the name of the elders, has challenged this congregation. Let's raise this, or as much of it as we can. And let's provide this. I got a call from Brother Thomas Eves the other day. He said, I saw something in your bulletin. It's just made my week. Not just his day. It's made my week. And I thought he had read my article. But I said, what is it, Thomas? He said, I see where East End is going to give their fifth sundry contribution toward providing these materials for Ukraine. I said, you got it. Brother Bishop's already announced it, and he gave me specific instructions that while he was going to Lower Alabama today, that I am to let the congregation know about this and push it, and brethren, I'm pushing as hard as I know how to push. We can do this. And let me tell you, when we do this, or come within a whisker of it, and maybe a little over, we will be showing that we have concern for people we do not know. Now, we can talk about it, and that's good as far as it goes, but that doesn't get across the street. We have to do what we talk about. We talk about concern. Here's our opportunity, brethren. One of the best opportunities, one of the greatest opportunities, certainly one of the first opportunities of this calendar year, to really show, Lord, we want to be as you are. And we're going to show our concern for those people. And that means we're going to dig deep. We're going to sacrifice and do without something maybe that we're going to buy and postpone it 6 months if necessary. We're going to truly, liberally contribute with a prayer for the salvation of souls that can result from what we do right here next week. Brethren, will we do it? I just know that must be within the heart of every one of us. You not only will, but we better. The Lord has given us the blessings to do it with. And we can. They only want $10,000. How many souls? Not just what's in Ukraine today. The children of those Ukrainians. The preachers that can be trained to preach the gospel. Untold scores of souls can be in heaven, beginning with the effort that we make next Sunday, if we make the effort that we ought to make next Sunday. And that's the cause of Christ, isn't it? Concern for those we do not know, beginning in a very specific way now with our contribution next Sunday. That's what I wanted to bring to you today. I want you to think about it all week. I thought, well, I'm going to wait and say that next Sunday. I said, no, that's not right. People need to think about it. You need a purpose in your heart. You need to plan what you're going to do. You need to have an interest in this thing to where you and your wife or you and your children or whatever is in your household, you're going to sit down. What are we going to do next Sunday? How much can we do? What can we sacrifice to provide? Couldn't we quadruple our contribution next Sunday? Couldn't we at least double it? Couldn't we provide the likes of which we haven't provided before? And now we have a whole week to think about it. I know everybody has those bills that are something awful. I'll tell you, I do firmly believe that if there's any justice in the world, I would own half of Ben Lomond Telephone Company. They'd just give it to me. Because of my telephone bill. That's what happens when your kin folks live outside, and that's what happens when your kin folks get sick and they're still outside of your zip code number, area code number. I moved into this community 12 years ago, and the Jones brothers' brother, I forget his first name, he's Jones, so many of them, I just call him Jones. He was the head of Ben Lomond. I hadn't been here 2 or 3 months. First thing I knew here, Ben Lomond had a new telephone truck here and a new telephone truck there, and they were spending their building there, and I knew who was paying for every bit of it. I was furnishing the capital for all of it because of my telephone calls. I know you got bills. That's what I'm leading to. I know you've got obligations. You've got house payments. You've got car payments. You've got dentist payments. You've got to take care of the kids. You've got this. You've got that. You've got the other. But those people over there have got souls that are lost. And you can help them. Brethren, I just simply ask you to search your heart and let's do all we can to show our concern for people we don't know. That's the lesson for today. Let me tell you, first of all, the concern you need to show prior to that, and that's for your own soul if you're not a Christian. Some of you here aren't. Some of you here have thought about it. Some of you here have even talked to me about it. You need to respond to the cause of Christ and be on God's side and in God's army and join in God's work. You'll be blessed if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and will repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized into Christ, you will be one who belongs to Christ. Oh, what a blessing, what a privilege to live each day, to bask in the knowledge that all is well with your soul because you're in Christ. You can have that. Christ died for you to have that. If you once done that and you haven't been faithful, you need to be restored, and you need to do that this morning through repentance, confession, and prayer. And let the opportunities that are before us motivate us to first get ourselves right. And then we'll be able to reach out and help people that we don't even know. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come this morning?